Scripture. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for giving today. If this is your first time with us, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor here. So good to see you guys on this Mother's Day. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, this chapter is very easy to find. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to flip over to Genesis chapter 3. Last week, we started a little two-part message series simply entitled Speak Life. Pastor Richard did such a great job talking about the power of declaring life out of our mouths. So we're going to continue that today. And just as Pastor Richard talked about expectation, our hope for you is that every time that you come to this church building, that you come with an expectation that God is going to move in my life. God is a father. And like any good father, he wants to speak to you and I. And I know that God wants to say something to you today. Something that's going to encourage you. Something that's going to build your faith. And so we're believing today that God is going to move. And he's going to move mightily in your life and in your situation. And so every Sunday, I know sometimes it can become very routine. You come to church, we have a certain thing, order that we do things. But coming to church is not routine. Because encountering the presence of God should never be routine. Encountering the presence of God can change us. Think about it. In 30 minutes, my entire life was radically changed. In a 30-minute message, 18 years ago, sitting just like you're sitting today, listening to someone speak, my life was radically changed. Man, God can change things in our life in simple minutes or moments in our life. And today we're believing that this moment is for you, that something great is going to happen for you today. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to flip over to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form." Some of your versions might say formless. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Now the serpent," we know that Satan, "was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Eve, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and there was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would, Lord, simply minister through me, God, as your servant. Lord, all of us find ourselves, Lord, in situations, God, even as we sung and my wife talked about, Lord, earlier. We find ourselves in situations of oftentimes it seems we're confused. They seem chaotic. Lord, what's going on? Lord, I pray today that you would bring your encouragement through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the big reasons that we're talking about this whole idea of speaking life and declaring God's word out of our mouth is because as you look at what people say, people actually say, those who study this, that there's two things that really allow you and I to live a great life. And those two things, I think, are the two things that we struggle with the most. And that is giving, living a generous life, and actually speaking positive words from our mouth. Even those who are not believers, believe in these things, that if I live a generous life, I give, and if I begin to speak positive things out of my mouth, that I'll live a better life. But what we're talking about really throughout this little two-part series is not necessarily positive confession over negative confession. But the Bible does have a lot to say about the power of our words. See, the words that we use can reveal our heart. This is one of my wife's favorite verses. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She oftentimes reminds me of that. No, baby, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did, because out of the abundance of the heart. So that was in there, Lance. And I like to try to repent my way out of it, and it doesn't work. But our words reveal our hearts, but also our words have the power to redirect our hearts. And so the Bible has so much to say. Proverbs 18, the verse that Pastor Richard used last week, talked about the power of life and death is in what? It's in the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruits. And so the Bible has so much to say about these words that are coming out. But the problem is, you and I have problems oftentimes, don't we? With the words that are coming from our mouth. Let me ask you this question. How quickly, in whatever situation you find yourself in, how quickly do you find yourself speaking words, not of life, but words of death? For instance, maybe you're sitting at a red light, and the right light turns green, and the person in front of you does not go. How quickly do words of negativity, or really the Bible uses words of death, begin to come out of your mouth? You idiot, why don't you go? What about speaking to others or about others? How quickly do words of death begin to come out of our mouth? He's always going to be like this. She's always going to be like this. Maybe it's a child. They're never going to listen to me and do what I'm telling them to do. It's so easy we find ourselves with these words coming out of our mouth, not words of life, but words of death. I remember my wife and I, we were driving somewhere and I was following her. And I was actually singing. I had some Christian music on, Pastor Richard. Man, I was praising God, declaring His goodness and His mercy. But right in the moment of praise, as I'm watching my wife drive, I see someone swerve into her lane. So I'm like, Jesus, You're Lord. You idiot, what are you doing? I mean, in a moment, I went from praising God to cursing my fellow man. But it's so easy, isn't it, for things like this to happen in our lives. But God wants to change us today. You know, my daughter, Darcy, she's 14 years old, and she's actually closing out her golf season here this week for her school season, her middle school, and she's entering into her championship matches. And one of the things as you play golf that you hate to do is you never want to three-putt. If you know anything about golf, when you get on this green, it's called the putting green. It's where the flag and hole is at. And you want to, every time you get on the green, either a one-putt or two-putt. Three-putt is atrocious. Now, I'm a very, if you know me, an optimistic person. I'm not very pessimistic. But I found myself watching my daughter becoming very pessimistic. Here she is. She's on the last hole. She's about to shoot one of the best scores she's ever shot before. And her first putt, she came up about 15 foot short. Her next putt, it went about 5 feet long. So she has 5 feet for three putt. I'm thinking, the first words out of my mouth is she's going to four putt. Man, I'm just beginning to speak negativity, words of death over my daughter. And sure enough, what does she do? She knocks it right in the hole. Praise God. She actually didn't do what I said she was going to do. But it could be anything. It could be dealing with someone. It could be the situation that you find yourself in. It could be maybe you're in a situation where you're facing what I like to call the why moments of life. Kind of like my wife talked about. God, why is this happening? Why am I still in this situation? Man, I love that song we just sung. Why are these walls still up in my life? Why haven't they come down? And oftentimes in those situations, find myself speaking not words of life, but words of death. Not trusting God. not coming into agreement with him. And actually what begins to happen in those moments is I actually come into agreement with the chaos or confusion of my life instead of what God has to say over me. But today my hope is that you and I, through by the Spirit and grace of God, can actually begin, even in the chaotic moments of life, the confusion, the oftentimes where we're wondering, God, what's going on? Where you and I cannot have, we won't have an attitude of just simply, que sera, sera, because oftentimes that's what we resort to. God, whatever will be, will be. But that is not the way God wants us to operate in these moments. How he wants us to think and how he wants us to view the situations that we find ourselves in. God wants you and I to stand in faith. Stand in faith, in full confidence in him, that he knows what he is doing. Because the challenges of life leave us feeling frustrated. So if you feel frustrated today, you feel confused today, let me tell you, you're in the right spot today. Because we're going to walk out of here knowing that God is in full control and he knows what he is doing. Every situation that we come against really causes us to answer this one simple question. And this one quick question is this, is what in the chaotic moments of life, that's when we feel frustrated, what will we choose to say? What will we choose to say? How are we going to respond? In the red light moments, but also in the moments where it's very serious. Maybe we have lost a loved one. Maybe we're going through a divorce. Maybe we're facing a sickness. In those moments, what will we choose to say? See, this question is not unique to you and I. This really is an age-old question that leads us all the way back to the very verses we just read. This question actually leads all the way back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we find the earth formless and void. And when you and I look at this, or we look at this verse and we see how the earth was, formless and void, we can look at it and feel like the earth was chaotic. There was confusion. It was chaos. Maybe like our situation. But to God, it was not chaotic. See, God is like an architect. When an architect walks onto a building site and he sees the mess, he doesn't look at it as what? A mess. Because why? He is the one who has drawn up the blueprints. He knows what this mess is leading to. When I walk onto a job site like that, all I see is a mess because I've never looked at the blueprints. I don't know where the architect is going. God is like an architect. And when he looked upon the earth and he saw something that looked formless and void, it wasn't. Because he knew exactly where he was going with what he was creating. But we oftentimes don't see our situation or our mess like God. We're like Dee and I walking to my children's rooms every single day. We walk into our baby's rooms oftentimes. It becomes very overwhelming to us because there is a mess everywhere. Wet towels, clothes thrown everywhere. It becomes overwhelming to us. It becomes confusing to us. Because for Dee and I, we say to ourselves, we told them time and time again what to do with their clothes, what to do with their wet towel. Babies, it's not too difficult. You put it in a hamper. It's right here. It's white. Here you go. But those moments when we come into a chaotic situation or a situation looks formless and void, it's very overwhelming. It becomes frustrating to you and I, but not to God. Not God. See, God has an answer. And his answer today is going to change the way that we view our situation and what we say as we're walking through maybe what looks chaotic. What we find in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 3, is we find two different ways. Man, this is good. We see two different ways of viewing chaos and handling chaotic situations. Oftentimes, you and I, what we do in moments of chaos is we run from it. Now, the men in the room, when I say that, most of you men are probably thinking, well, I don't run from chaos. A lot of you men in here are soldiers. A lot of you men actually do run into a chaotic situation, a war zone. But men, many times, yes, we may do that on our jobs. Or maybe you're a businessman and you have chaos in your business, but yet you're confident in what you do. Oftentimes, it's not our jobs that cause us to run. Maybe our jobs being chaotic that cause us to run. Oftentimes, men, it's the chaos of relationships, isn't it? When relationships get confusing. Because the fact of the matter is, men, we're not good at relationships. And not one man said amen to that. We're just not. Relationships are confusing. You have to use your emotions. We hate that. And so they can be very chaotic. And so, men, what we do is anytime there's chaos in a relationship, we run from it. We stay away from it. Ladies, we do the same, though. Maybe it's not relationships. But maybe it's you've been let down. Maybe it's your emotions. So many times, ladies, because of your emotions, the chaos of life, the situations that you go through can cause depression to begin to set in. But the good news today is God has an answer. Genesis chapter 1, there is a godly way that you and I can begin to view the chaos in our life and how we should respond and what we should say in those chaotic situations. What is God's way? Genesis 1 tells us. God's way is simply this, that God chose to confront the darkness. He chose to confront that which looked chaotic. See, God didn't back down from what was formless and void. He didn't back down from the situation that he saw. So much so, he didn't even back down. He didn't sweep it under the rug either. He didn't act like it wasn't there. He confronted the chaos by his simple presence. I love that. God chose to stay when it was chaos. The Bible tells us what? That the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. See, that's good news to us. That no matter what's going on, maybe you don't feel God. Friends, God is always there. There's so many moments in my life where I don't feel like he's there. And I'm wondering, God, where are you? Why is this happening? Lord, I thought I prayed about that. Lord, why is this not working? And I have to go back oftentimes like David did in the book of Psalms. I'm telling you, if you're in a mess today, read the book of Psalms. Because David was oftentimes in the midst of chaos. People trying to kill him, people trying to destroy him. And he oftentimes was wondering, God, where are you? Why aren't you showing up? But it was in those moments where he began to say things like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He began to command his soul to bless the Lord. Because why? He knew, God, I can't feel you. God, I can't see you. But just as you've hovered over creation at the very beginning, you're hovering over my life even now. God is with us in the good times. He's also with us in the bad times. He's with us in the chaotic moments of life. But then you flip over to Genesis chapter 3. See, God was present in the chaos. But when we get to Genesis chapter 3, we find this man and woman named Adam and Eve. Now, what you have to understand about Adam and Eve is they are made in the very image of God. And here they are, made in the image of God, with the opportunity and privilege to represent God, to honor him. But the way they act is much differently than what we find in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, both chapters begin in chaos. Genesis chapter 1, we see the earth was formless and void. But Genesis chapter 3, we find someone else showing up on the scene. His name is a serpent. The Bible tells us that the serpent was more cunning than any other of the wild animals. He's chaos. And he shows up and he asks Adam and Eve, he asks him a question. And his question was simply, did God really say? As you study your Bible and you study the history of the Bible, you actually see that in the ancient Near East, a serpent represented confusion. He represented deceit or chaos. And here we have Adam and Eve. This is their opportunity. This is their opportunity to be like God, to bear His image, to honor Him, and to function and act and respond just like God did. But instead of remaining present, what did this man Adam choose to do? Adam chose to retreat into himself. And his unwillingness to move allowed chaos really to begin to wreck his wife and to begin to wreck his future family. So much so that you and I still feel the impact of Adam retreating from the chaos that he came up against. See, like you and I, chaos had entered into Adam's perfect world. And it left this man who was made in God's image. It left him feeling dumbfounded and confused. He didn't know what to do. Friends, for you and I to think. See, Adam was unwilling to act like God. He was unwilling to move. He should have done exactly like his father had done. But his unwillingness began to destroy his family. For you and I, men and women in this room, please don't think that your unwillingness to act like God and to remain present and not to retreat, don't think it only harms yourself. It harms everyone around you. Those you love, those you value. Guess what else? It also harms you and I as your church family. But we have been made in His image. And we are called to reflect God in moments of chaos. Men, maybe it's you and I. What do we retreat into? We oftentimes retreat into our hobbies or into our jobs. Because why? We're good at that. And so we run from the chaos of relationships, the chaos of dealing with our children or dealing with our wife. Listen, I know this message is heavy, but I need some amens. Women, that was your chance to say amen. Men, we retreat into our hobbies or into our jobs because we're good at that. And we shut down just like Adam. Ladies, oftentimes, I said it before, we give into our emotions. And it becomes so overwhelming to us that we shut down too. And we forget like Adam forgot. Adam forgot who he was. That I am made in His image. And as made in God's image in moments of chaos, moments when I don't understand, at least I can remain present and not retreat. Parents, maybe it's you and I as trying to raise our children. Parenting is difficult. Man, it's difficult. Parenting is hard. Parenting is frustrating. Parenting is confusing. Parenting will make you pull your hair out. I mean, it will just run you ragged. And so many times in dealing with my five children, because they're all different, Lord have mercy. And I have boys and girls. Lord, have mercy again. So many times I want to retreat. I don't know what to do with my girls' emotions. Hormones kicking in, all that women's stuff starting. We've got to that age and we're continuing to get to that age. Oh, Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't. And because I don't know what to say to my babies, what do? I retreat. I don't say anything. I just remain silent. I forget who I am, that I'm made in the image of God, that I've got to trust my Father. And I can't retreat. I've got to remain present. I've got to be there with my sons. They need me. They need Mama as well. They need both of us. Parent, maybe you're having a difficult time talking to your child. Maybe you're so frustrated at them, you're just saying, hey, get away from me, go to your room. That's what we do. Go to your room, get away from me. And what we do is we leave our children to battle their struggles by themselves. Parents, we cannot do that. I don't care how many times your child rejects you. I don't care how many times they frustrate you, they upset you. You've got to remain, just like your father, present in the midst of their chaos as well. Because their chaos, you know, is your chaos. And you've got to remain present so they know, Mommy, or mommy and daddy are there for me. Adam and Eve, here we have them. They've been created in the image of God, but they chose to retreat instead of standing in faith against the chaos. But God has another way. He has a way for you and I to respond. See, not only do we see in Genesis chapter 1, I didn't read the whole chapter, but not only do we see in Genesis 1 that God remained present, that He chose to stay, that we actually see God begin to do something awesome. And He began to do something that you and I also have the ability to do. It's called a communicable, it's a theological term, communicable attribute. God began to speak. He began to speak. 11 times in Genesis chapter 1, we find the words either God said or God blessed. 11 different times, God began to speak. And right after God began to speak, what you also see, you don't just see God said or God blessed. What you see is God saw. So what that means is whatever God said, God began to see. Whatever He said began to come to pass. Could it be, friends, that you and I, also made in His image, that you and I possess the ability that whatever we say, we may also see come to pass in our life? My answer is yes and amen. That you and I, made in His image, this communicable attribute that we possess like God, that we have the ability to speak in the midst of chaos. And we have the opportunity to begin to redirect the chaotic situation that we may be in. God chose to speak. He chose to speak. But what about Adam in Genesis chapter 3? What did he choose to do? See, not only did Adam choose to retreat, but what we see is something very tragic about Adam. Is Adam not only choose to retreat inside of himself, but actually Adam, he made the decision that I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to remain silent. Now, as you read your Bible, what you see, and as you study this, what you actually see is when Satan began to talk to Eve, Adam was standing right next to Eve. He was there. He was hearing this conversation. Did God really say? He was there. And being made in the image of God and being a man, Eve's husband, his role and responsibility was to protect Eve. Which simply meant he should have stepped up and said something. But yet Adam made the decision to remain silent. He chose to remain silent. And how many times do we get this opportunity to say something, but yet we choose, just like Adam did, to remain silent? And what we began to see is we begin to see Adam beginning to disappear into the background of this story. And Eve has to step up. See, for Adam, silence became his sin. This was his opportunity. This was his opportunity to reflect the Father. And just like God said and God saw, this was his chance to honor God, to step up and to speak just like God. As you read the Bible, what you see is God used his language to create beauty and relationship. And here we see Adam destroying the beauty that God had created, destroying the relationships that God had created for Adam and Eve to enjoy. But the lack of words or him saying nothing began to destroy everything that God had made. See, Adam was forgetting who he was. I'm made in his image. Adam forgot. It's my role and responsibility to say something. And as you read all throughout the book of Genesis, over and over and over again, what you see is this same sin happening again and again. Men and women being silent and not bearing the image of God. Friends, why do you and I struggle with this? Why can we identify with Adam? Why do I, when I get home from work, And my wife asked me a very simple question. Why do I struggle with this question? Well, my wife looks at me and simply asks, "Hey, honey, how was your day?" Why do I struggle with this answer? And all that comes out of my mouth is, "It was okay. It was good." I might as well just not have said anything, because that is not sufficing to her. She wants to hear me talk. She wants to hear the details of my life, of what happened that day. But yet, oftentimes, when she asks me that question, I get frustrated. I'm frustrated because I've been asked a lot of questions that day, and I don't want to answer any more questions. But this is my wife. This is who God has connected me with. We're joined together. But her question bothers me. It frustrates me. And so what do? I just remain silent. And I don't say anything. Man, I'm sure you can relate. Why do we struggle with this when our children need us? Why do we struggle with going to them, being there for them, helping them, supporting them, encouraging them? And so what do? We just remain silent. Maybe it's our friends that need us in moments of difficulty. But yet, because we don't know what to say, we don't say anything. And that's the worst as a friend. You and I have been made in His image. And it's our responsibility not just to be present, but it's our responsibility to begin to speak in moments of chaos, to begin to open our mouth, because godly men and godly women move into chaos. They move in faith and they move saying something. They begin to open up their mouth and trust the Holy Spirit. God, you're going to give me what to say, and I'm trusting in you. This is what you and I are called to do. So what this means, friends, is the excuses of "I don't know what to say" have to stop. They got to stop. And they've got to stop right now. Right now. They can no longer continue. Because you are made in His image. Therefore, you're called to reflect Him. You're called to glorify Him. You're called to declare what He said. What you say can come to pass. But will we open up our mouth and begin to speak? See, here's what should have happened. What they should have done is reminded one another about what God had said to them. This wasn't Adam. This wasn't Eve, "You need to be quiet," and "Adam, you need to talk more." See, both Adam and Eve, both male and female, have been made in His image. This doesn't mean that Eve, you don't have a voice. No, she has a voice, because she's been made just like every man in this room. Every man and every woman are made in the image of God. What should have happened in this moment is they should have come together and begin to ask, "Hey, now, what did God say? What did God say about that? Did God really say?" Yes, He did. They should have worked together. But yet they forgot who they were. They forgot who they were. See, they were afraid to take their struggle to God. As they got together, they should have said, "Why don't we take this to God and ask Him? Let's ask Him about this." I think for you and I, we struggle with this as well. For you and I, we go through hardship, we go through struggle. Maybe it's we begin to blame others, or maybe it's we begin to blame God. Therefore, we don't take this, what looks formless, what looks void, what looks chaotic. We don't take it to God. Because I think we don't do that because we oftentimes don't like God's answer. We don't like His answer. And so we rather handle it on our own. And we see through Adam and Eve what leads to trying to handle the chaos of life on our own. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who are what? Heavy laden or heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." Listen, He's not talking just about the simple thing. He's talking about any and everything we go through. God, going through this sickness, it's chaotic. Lord, I'm bringing this to you. God, I've lost my husband, my wife. Lord, I've lost my child. God, I'm bringing this to you. All you who are heavy laden, Peter tells us that we can cast our care, our worries, our anxieties, that which overwhelms us, because he cares for us. Babe, I want you and the team, come on back up here. We can cast our cares upon him because he cares for you and I. But how does all of this happen for us? Don't get distracted by them coming up here. Pay attention. How does all this happen for us? Because it's one thing to possess the ability, being made in his image, to be able to speak like God, to be able to remain present like God. But yet, it's another thing to actually have the power to do this. Every person, every human being possesses this ability. But it's only believers that really possess the power to speak like God in moments of chaos. How does this happen? How do we get this power? God so loved you and I so much. When you read the book of John, it tells us that he loves us so much that God became man in Jesus Christ. And he dwelt among us. Jesus, being God in the flesh, chose to live in the midst of chaos, the midst of confusion. Just as God in chapter 1 was confronted with something that was formless and void. Just as Adam in chapter 3 was confronted with Satan, his chaotic situation. Jesus also was confronted with chaos. Here we have this opportunity. He's in the garden. And this cup of suffering was being presented to him. And we know that cup of suffering was what? Him going to the cross for you and I. It was chaotic. The cross was chaos. So much so when I look at this, and if I didn't know the end of the story, I would say to myself and ask this question, God, Jesus, why do you have to go to the cross? This is what Peter said. Jesus, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. And if I didn't know the end of the story, I'd be saying the same thing. Jesus, you're perfect. You've never sinned. Why do you have to go to the cross? Because Jesus was showing you and I something. He was showing us that in order for us to begin to see the chaos in our life overcome, it takes greater surrender. See, Jesus surrendered over to the cross. Not only did he surrender over, but we see that he surrendered for you and I. Because on the cross, people were hurling insults at him. They were shouting at him. But he didn't remain silent. He began to speak. What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He began to speak in the midst of chaos. When you and I capture the beauty of the cross, the beauty of what Christ has done for us, and our hearts are impacted, and we begin to lift our hands and say, Lord, I just surrender. Lord, I surrender over to your power. Lord, I surrender over to your way. This is not que sera, sera, whatever will be. This is, Lord, whatever's going on in my life. But today I'm standing in faith. Lord, I am trusting in you. See, the cross of Christ simply means just as Jesus died, we have to die. We have to die to our will, our dreams, what we want to see come to pass. And say, Lord, whatever situation I find myself in, I'm trusting in you. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm putting my confidence in you. Lord, you're a good Father. You're a good God. Your way is perfect. And God, I'm asking you, no matter what, Lord, for your will and your way to come into my life. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I believe all of us today can find ourselves in some type of situation. And I want Dee to lead us in a portion of this song today that we sung, the last song we sung. Because I believe this song encourages us of the faithfulness of God, that God is still there, that he's there for us, and he's going to make a way for you and I no matter what.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never.